Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. The Reverend Heath Trampy is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, by which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Well, I don't have to tell you that today's reading is a favorite for many. I'm guessing it's a favorite for some of you. After exhorting his listeners to be faithful husbands and wives, sons and daughters, managers and workers, Paul entreats them to put on the whole armor of God. We Christians are entrenched in a spiritual battle that threatens us from multiple fronts. And it behooves us as God's children to not only recognize the danger, but also to be equipped for the battle. Paul begins by fastening the belt of truth. Now, it's likely that the apostle used his Roman captors as inspiration when making this list. The armor listed here is similar to the Roman hoplite, an elite, heavily armored soldier who often fought on the front lines of battle. The battle Paul mentions in Ephesians 6 is gritty warfare. Life and death are hanging in the balance. The belt of truth brings up images of what a physical belt would have been useful for. In addition to securing the breastplate and the scabbard which housed the sword, the belt would have bound any loose clothing in preparation for moving quickly. As opposed to the apostles in the Garden of Gethsemane, Paul describes a Christian who is ready to move nimbly in the presence of the enemy. Next, we put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate protects the vital organs in battle, including the heart. While a soldier might still be struck in the arm or the leg, those often did not prove to be fatal wounds. And then our breastplate is one of righteousness is important. But more important is to know whose righteousness we wear. Christ articulates our need for external righteousness in Mark 7, which is the gospel this reading is paired with in the lectionary. After teaching that food will not make a person unclean, Christ makes a bold assertion. He says, from within, from out of the heart of man come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and they defile a person. I think this list lays bare any delusions that we are covered by our own righteousness. Rather, we cloak ourselves in Christ. Next, we put on shoes made ready by the gospel of peace. Now, at a glance, it looks like Paul means going into enemy territory and sharing the gospel. And that's a worthwhile endeavor, to be sure. But the enemy here is not another person. It's not another people group. This is Satan and his demons. The preaching of the gospel not only equips us to share the good news, but also prepares us to stand against the deceptions of the evil one. When defending oneself, it's often important to keep the feet moving, whether you're absorbing a hit in football or avoiding a knockout blow in boxing. So these shoes on the move allow us to quickly and confidently take up the shield of faith. Paul's mention of fiery arrows brings to mind the ancient warfare tactic of dipping arrows in pitch and setting them aflame. To protect against this, Roman soldiers dipped their leather-covered wooden shields in water before battle. You and I have been dipped in the saving waters of holy baptism, and I'm going to come back to that. Next, we take the helmet of salvation. A helmet protects some of a person's most valuable assets, while giving him or her a boost of confidence to get the job done right. So protected as we are from head to toe, our pressing concern becomes going on the offensive. And for this, Paul encourages us to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the very word of God. As a kid, and as an adult, if I'm being honest, I thought it was pretty cool for the Bible to be compared to a sword that we can protect ourselves with or others with or even go on the attack. But a closer look at the text reveals the entire suit of armor is comprised of the word of God. So what does that mean for our daily lives as Christians? Well, something I would share often in the parish was that Satan really has one lie, but he wields that lie with surgical precision. Did God really say that? Is that really what God said? It worked on Adam and Eve. Worked on pretty much everyone until Jesus. Adam was pierced to the bone by this fiery arrow, and the ashes of this attack continue to darken our days in this world. Sin affects everything we do, turning the creation that God proclaimed to be good into a mass of anger and confusion and suffering. But note the strategy of Jesus as Satan shot these arrows in the wilderness. With each volley, Jesus shielded himself with the word. He didn't respond with, "I believe," but rather, "It is written." You see, the great war is decided. Jesus secured that victory on the cross. What remains are skirmishes until the last day, when there will be no more warfare, either physical or spiritual. For the time, we put our faith not in ourselves, but in baptism, in the Lord's Supper, in the Word of God. These are Christ, who comes to us in means so that we can put on this armor of God every day. Paul closes this section with prayer. He contrasts the armor, which is the proper work of God in our lives, with the manner by which we ask God to stand with us in the fight. And in our weakness, the Spirit intercedes for us, God preserving and protecting in one masterful work. The enemy is a lion, prowling and ravenous. Christians rejoice that God washes us in baptism, feeds us with his supper, and covers us with his word in holy armor. As I was preparing this message, it brought to mind all the times I've sang "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God" over the last month, at least four times. I don't know if you're in the same boat, and I could never sing it enough. Always the Luther version. I prefer that one. Luther writes this. He says, "The old satanic foe has sworn to work us woe." I bet you could probably say the rest from memory. "With craft and dreadful might, he arms himself to fight. On earth, he has no equal." And then he follows this terrifying, depressing imagery with a promise. "Satan's might is doomed to fail. God's judgment must prevail. One little word subdues him." This is the word of God. Sharper than any two-edged sword, it is our comfort, it is our wisdom, it is our hope everlasting. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.